Here we go. It's that time. What's the point on WDJO every Saturday morning, 8 a.m. And, of course, it's where the music is. We're brought to you by our great sponsors, River Metals Recycling, A&B Heating and Air Conditioning, Western and Southern Financial Group, Big Blue Moving with Evan and Nathan Thompson, and of course, the big O, John Oslika with Window World and WDJO 99.5 107.9 FM, 1480 AM, and the wonderful iHeartRadio app. No, I'm Andy Furman. Jake Furman's with me. And today, of all days, you want to keep warmer, we're talking about the water today. We're talking about the water with Ohio River Foundation. Wonderful guests. We got the CEO, Executive Director, Rich Kogan's here, and the wonderful Melinda Voss, Education Program Manager. We're going to discuss what actually the Ohio River Foundation is, and on a wonderful day like today where we're going to get maybe 8 to 12 inches of snow, you came out of bed, you came out to WDJO to be with us, and we want to thank you so very much. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Melinda, for coming today. Thank you very much, really. Now, let's get into this. Let's find out a little bit about yourselves, and then we'll get rolling into what the Ohio River Foundation is. Rich, you're the CEO. I was going to go with Melinda first because she's better looking than you, but honestly, I'm going to go with you because you're in charge, and you'll be upset.
No one can.
Okay. So, Rich, and you're not too bad looking yourself, but Rich.
Yes, I shaved this morning, you know, even though.
Tell us a little bit about yourself because I think you and I have something in common. I think we're both from the Empire State. So basically, your background and what brought you to Cincinnati and what do you do, actually? And there's the microphone right there.
Right. Yeah. So first, thank you very much for inviting me and Melinda this morning. Andy, it's a pleasure to be here. And the foundation is really a love of ours. We really are excited about the work that we're doing. I arrived in Cincinnati in 1997. I am originally from New York or New York State. I arrived in Cincinnati pretty much my wife was offered a promotion, and so we packed up our young family and left Manhattan. And when I arrived in Cincinnati, I became the city's first environmental attorney in the city solicitor's office. But while I was there, I found it odd as I saw photos in the local newspapers of dead cows and refrigerators floating down the river, and that was the caption in the photos, but nobody really said that this was a bad thing. So I got together some folks, and we formed Ohio River Advocacy that then later became Ohio River Foundation.
And you're the man. So basically, you created it.
Yeah.
So there was no Ohio River Foundation before you came here.
There was no organization that was looking at the pollution, water quality for the Ohio River or for the watershed.
So Rich Kogan, we could say you're a pioneer.
Well,
yes, I'm not you're a pioneer. I love you.
I have had a lot of help along the way. Okay.
I enjoy Melinda's background because you worked at one of my favorite places before Ohio River. You worked at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Yeah, I was there for about 13 years and at the Detroit Zoo prior to that.
What did you do at the zoo?
I managed the education programs there.
That's great.
And we worked with thousands and thousands of kids and a lot of animals, and it was an incredible job. I loved it very, very much. But I am equally excited about the work I'm doing now.
And you're pretty smart because you went to Miami U.
Well, I did some master's work there. Originally, I graduated from DePaul University. But yes, Miami University is a great university. I ran led some master's programs through the Global Field Program, and we traveled internationally with teachers and did some really cool stuff abroad. But yeah, that's some of my background. The zoo is I'm very passionate about that place, but I love now the opportunity to really focus in on our local environment.
Okay, so we know that Rich basically came and formed this Ohio River Foundation because he didn't like to see refrigerators in the water. Okay, what would bring you – I don't think anybody goes to school and says, I want to work for the Ohio River Foundation. Now, we've had a lot of nonprofits on this show, and more often than not, the nonprofits – are usually related to some sort of mishap in their family. If someone has autism, that mom mm-hmm. or dad will want to be involved with the autism or heart or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. This is a different kind of nonprofit. What brought you, Melinda, to Ohio River Foundation?
Yeah, so I took a brief break from working and had a few babies and then started looking around. And the Ohio River Foundation, I'm a West Side kid. I grew up here in Cincinnati, not far from the river. And grew up in the river, so we were joking before we began about how it's a regular practice for me and my family to go boating and swimming in the Ohio. So it's
so
been
you,
a special
you had no
place.
Showers in your house. Right. You use the Ohio River. That's okay. It's all right.
And
the West Side's a little different. I get it.
Right. Okay. Yes. the west side is the best side. But yes, we did. And yeah, I have to admit, I'm sure there was some bathing that went on in the Ohio. We spent a lot of time. You might consider us river rats, which I say proudly. But the Ohio has always been important to me. I grew up on a farm, so being outside was just, that's all we did, right? And so I very early on grew a strong connection to the outdoors. That was the place I wanted to be. And I feel passionately about that and want to ensure that children of this generation have those same opportunities and also feel comfortable going outside. And I can talk a lot more about that, but the motivations behind our program and why we do it.
Not only are you clean, you have a good heart.
Yeah, thank you. Right.
Okay, so I got to break the ice here for a second because I want to ask you this. Were you ever involved in that time when the Ohio River was fully frozen? People were walking. I heard people drove
on
it.
In 97, I think that was, wasn't it? Or 70?
That was I'm just curious.
Or 77.
Okay, well, I'm just curious. I want to know a little bit about that story because I haven't witnessed that yet still, and I want to know what that was like.
So that was 1977. Yeah, that was 1977.
77.
And actually, somebody recently asked me about that.
Huh.
And so as far as the ecology is concerned, the fauna, the fish, everything, you know, the metabolism may slow down, but as far as ecological impacts, there is none. It's a fun thing as far as people who I heard walked across the river from Kentucky to Ohio. But otherwise, as far as an event that impacted the river in any way or habitat, it really had no effect.
Did anybody drown? Anybody fall in?
I don't recall. I mean, I was not here. But as far as what I've read, I don't believe any negative impacts as far as people are concerned happened.
Now down to business.
Thank you.
Yeah. What exactly is the Ohio River Foundation? What is your mission? What do you do?
So Ohio River Foundation is a watershed conservation organization. We're a nonprofit organization. We're based in Cincinnati. And I think it's important that we describe the difference between a watershed organization and a river organization, especially because river is in our name, but we are a watershed organization.
Great.
So I'm going to let Melinda draw the distinction between the two.
That's what a boss does.
Right? Pass the buck. No, I love talking about this, and it's something we spend a lot of time talking to our students about, but also adults, because I think most people don't really understand that well enough. But a watershed is defined as a region of both land and water in which all the water that falls in that region or landscape drains eventually into one common body of water, which in our case is the Ohio River. So we're near the Great Lakes watershed, but we are not part of the Great Lakes watershed. So in our region, we are part of the Ohio River watershed. So if you think about the landscape that surrounds you, probably most people can think of a small creek or stream, and so if you follow that, it will eventually drain. If you're in our watershed, it will eventually drain into the Ohio River. And so we talk a lot about what we do on the land has a direct impact on the water, and that is something people don't probably think about enough, because every activity that we do, whether it's, you know, growing the food we grow, how we where we work, what we do, chemicals we use, what we're doing with our water, that's all having an impact on the Ohio River, and that is the source of our drinking water, too. So 5 million people use the Ohio River as their primary source of drinking water. So there's many reasons to care about what we do in our watershed, because it's going to impact eventually, in some way, the Ohio River.
How many eyes did this open when you guys started this foundation and said, hey, you need to have a much more cleaner source of water?
Yeah, that's a good question for Rich.
we'll pass the baton back and forth. It's fine. So I think that it opened a lot of eyes. The focus back then, we're talking about in 2000 when the organization was formed, in Greater Cincinnati, environmental conservation really did not have a lot of bandwidth. There really was not a lot of attention being given to that particular topic. So I think the foundation over the past 26 years, and really the first, I'd say, first 10 years, really got a lot of people taking note of what the condition was of the Ohio River, as well as the local environment. And so we've been successful in really getting a lot of both individuals as well as private foundations and companies to start spending more time with their money as well, but spending more time focusing on what their impact is in the watershed and on the river, as well as what they can do differently. So I think we've had a lot of impact locally and regionally, and we continue to see, especially with some of the programs that we're going to talk about in a few minutes, a lot of excitement about what's going to be coming in the next couple of years with both the education program and a couple of our restoration programs. So, but I want to be also clear that there's the watershed. It's 200,000 square miles in 14 different states that make up the watershed. So we have a very large mission as far as focusing on protecting and improving the water quality and ecology in the river, in the watershed. But when it comes to our programs and activities, because it's such a wide area, we're very focused as far as what we can accomplish and have a big impact. So I look forward to talking more about that. But it's a distinction between both the entire Ohio River watershed and what impact we have as an organization.
Right. And, you know, I'm not that smart, so I had to look this up. So the watershed, a source of drinking water, place of recreation and commerce and wildlife habitat. Yeah. That's basically what it is. But the question I have is that you started this because you were upset about the garbage that was floating in the Ohio. You were alone. I mean, how did you recruit staffers to come aboard and help you?
Well, it was pretty easy. Once we made the distinction between recreation and people did not make the connection between Ohio River water and drinking water. And 5 million people now get their drinking water from the Ohio River. So as soon as we started making that point and hammering it home, more people were getting interested in, okay, well, maybe it's important that we start taking a look at cleaning up the river, making the water cleaner and more healthy, because it has a cloudy or has a turbid and dirty look to it.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that it is not potable and we can't use it for drinking water once it goes through the treatment process at Cincinnati Water Works. But it sort of made that connection. That was the spark to get people interested in participating in what we do. And then as far as recruiting staff is concerned, like Melinda, it really has been the uniqueness of our programs and our approach to what we're trying to do as an organization that really has motivated people to want to be part of the organization.
Right. And you're the man in charge here, so I'm going to ask your permission. I think we need to go to Melinda to some of the programs that she does. Is that okay with you?
Oh, that's...
And you can roll with that. I mean, you can handle that because you have the Ohio River Conservation Course. Right, and that's under your umbrella, is that correct?
Yeah, that's a really great summer course we offer for high school students in partnership with some other really great nonprofits that do really important work.
So you must have a big staff. So you teach, is that yours? You do it yourself, or is it a bunch of people doing that? How does that work?
That particular course we do in partnership with a few other really excellent partners that work in the water world and water ecology. We also have our two main programs, our flagship programs, the River Explorer program, which has been around the longest. So that will be celebrating its 20th anniversary soon. But the River Explorer program is for 4th through 12th grade students. And what's really incredible about this is we take kids, local kids, into our local waterways. And so they're getting in ankle deep, knee deep, often waist deep. They fall in on purpose, not on purpose. But think of that incredible opportunity, right? Because many of these kids that we work with have never had the opportunity to slosh around in a creek, which was a common occurrence for me when I was growing up. And probably a lot of adults can think of special experiences they've spent outdoors in nature in a creek. But a lot of kids aren't getting that opportunity. And this is one way in which we're doing it. So we're giving them a really special nature-based experience. But equally importantly, we are giving them some really good science, right, and walking them through the scientific process and doing some really cool field ecology work with them. So it's an incredible program. I could talk for a whole hour about all the magical things that happen during River Explorer.
And we will.
Yeah, okay, good.
And 3,500 students participate.
Oh, that's big.
Wow.
That's
huge.
Every year, 3,500 students.
We're going to continue with that. Rich Colgan, Executive Director of the Ohio River Foundation, Melinda Voss, Education Program Manager. And you could join in as well at 513-563-1480 right here. What's the point on where the music is? WDJO.
Knocking me out with those Americans.
Success is often determined by how well you plan and prepare for life's biggest moments. It's the confidence that comes from knowing you and your loved ones are protected for generations. You can rest assured knowing you've made the right choice, placing your trust in Western and Southern. From life insurance to retirement and investments, Western and Southern helps provide the peace of mind you need so you can be in the moment with the ones you love. Visit westernsouthern.com/rest assured to get started today.
Big Blue Moving and Storage has been voted Kentucky's number one moving company. Whether you're moving across town or across country, we have you covered. Our highly trained moving crews are among the top in the nation and can make your move quick and stress-free. We only employ the best of the best, and our movers are the highest paid in the area, which is why we like to say, happy movers make happy customers. From packing and moving to unpacking, organizing, and even storage, Big Blue can do it all, or we can quickly come move the big stuff. We leave that decision up to you, allowing you to control the cost of the move. We charge a flat hourly rate that is prorated to the minute, and our clock doesn't start until we get to your home. Our pricing is clearly outlined on our website, and there are no hidden fees. Big Blue Moving is locally owned and operated in Florence, Kentucky. This means from mover to manager to owner, we take pride in what we do and truly cherish the reputation we've built. So if you want to experience a whole new way of moving, give us a call today at 859-608-BLUE. Big Blue Moving. Just move it.
Hello, Cincinnati. John from Window World here. Did you know Window World is the largest exterior remodeler in America? Check us out for your next siding project. We have vinyl siding, we have insulated siding, and we have several different composite siding to compete with our competition. 40 or more colors for you to choose from. Find out more about your siding options at windowworldcincinnati.com.
With other language learning apps, I was just playing games. I wasn't really learning. Babbel's different.
Babbel was designed by over 200 language learning experts to be the most effective way to learn another language.
Every time I open the app, I can choose to work on my writing, speaking, or listening. And it saves my mistakes for me to review, so I'm constantly improving. Before Babbel, I thought I just wasn't good with languages. But now I'm speaking French. Tout ça, c'est grâce à Babbel.
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
WDJO. What's the point of WDJO? Where the music is, he's Jake Furman. I'm Andy Furman. Two very special guests, Rich Kogan, Executive Director, Ohio River Foundation, and Melinda Voss, Education Program Manager. And just one quickie before we get rolling again, Rich. Where are you located? Where's the offices?
The office is in Blue Ash.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you basically have a storefront. I mean, a big-time building now, a regular office. You don't work out of your home.
Well, the office actually is a home office.
Okay.
Because we had a office building years ago, but because so much of our work is remote, I mean, the education program is operating on 7 different tributaries, Sharon Creek, Banklet Creek, Little Miami River, O'Banion Creek, as well as the restoration program is active locally on 7 different parks. So there just makes no sense for people to have to come in and punch a clock.
Right.
So we try to be as efficient as possible with the money that we receive from donors, and spending $8,000 or $10,000 a year on rent is not a very good use of donors' dollars. So we were using Zoom and conference calling and doing all that before it was popular. And so we've really figured out how to have conference calls or meet at local coffee shop and eateries and have fun that way, and have our meetings that way as opposed to going to a formal office setting.
And besides Melinda, how many people work in the office?
There are 16 different people, a mix of part-time, full-time, seasonal, and interns. So it's been a really tight-knit group for a long time. We are hiring off and on during the year when it comes to the seasonal folk, but we're really excited about this year and where we're going with the organization.
Okay, I mentioned something during the break, and you went crazy. the Muscles in the Classroom program, that's M-U-S-S-E-L-S. Do me a favor, take that, roll with it. You and Melinda talk about the Muscles in the Classroom, because you said that's basically your flagship. That's the big deal.
That is the lightning in a bottle program. It is something that we're really proud of. It started in 2017. It came out of our restoration program. So as we we're removing dams, and we still are. We removed last year our seventh dam in the watershed. You know, it exposes mussels. They get left high and dry, and so we were relocating, and we relocate freshwater mussels during our restoration program. And we had the idea that maybe we could somehow introduce this particular species, this animal, to students in a way that could be both educational, entertaining, and really be a motivation for the next generation as far as protection of the watershed is concerned. But I'm going to let Melinda describe in greater detail what that program is all about and where we're headed with it.
And you have to pay to get into this program, right? There's a fee.
There is a fee, although it's very low. Okay. So that's one thing we pride ourselves on as far as our programs go, is keeping them incredibly accessible, both from a financial standpoint, but making it easy for teachers to participate, because teachers are up against a lot and they need more assistance and support and help in bringing science into their classroom or bringing their students out of the classroom into the local environment. So the price currently is only $100 per program. It is going up next school year, but that's incredibly affordable because that comes down to less than a dollar per student, because there's a large number of students that can participate. Yeah. So I'll tell you a little bit. First, I should probably start with why the heck mussels? Because
right.
that is often a question people ask, is what is a mussel? Why should I care? So I'm going to start there, and then I'll get a little bit more into the program, and you'll have to cut me off because I really, really love mussels, and I could talk for a long time about mussels. But freshwater mussels are an incredible animal and group of organisms for all kinds of reasons. But I'll start with our kind of local pride angle, because here in the Ohio River Valley, we have some of the greatest biodiversity of mussels in all of North America. North America is the site or source of the most species of mussels in all the world. So we should be very proud of the fact that we have so much mussel diversity here. But right here in our local community, we have a lot. So there's 297 species of freshwater mussel found in North America, and 127 of them are found in the Ohio River system.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's a huge percentage. But I'm going to mention the kind of scary or alarming side of this. So over 70% of those are threatened, endangered, or already extinct. So what most people don't know about freshwater mussels is that they are the most endangered group of organisms in all of North America. So if you think of what you might assume is the most endangered group, it probably mussels don't come to mind, but they are the one that have some of the greatest threats of any other group of organisms. So they really deserve a lot more of our time and attention, because we're losing them at a very rapid rate. And that's for many reasons, which I could get into. So they're a group of animals that we have in abundance, but had far more in the past. And that's due in large part to a lot of the ways in which we've changed the way the river works, damming it up, but also major changes to the environment and habitat in which they live, and, of course, pollution. So beyond that, mussels have a really incredible environmental service that they provide. So mussels are filter feeders, and so they filter out everything in the water. They're after oxygen to breathe, but also nutrients for themselves to eat. But while in that process of filtering the water, they're also cleaning the water of all kinds of other things that can be harmful to humans and other animals that live in that habitat. So heavy metals, different bacteria, E. coli, things like that. They're filtering out the water. That's a little large. We're talking microscopic. They won't get the refrigerator, but they're going to get all that nasty stuff we can't see that is bad for us and bad for other animals. And so here's a fun fact. So some of our partners who do mussel surveys in the Ohio River estimate that there's about 4.6 million mussels still alive upstream of the Ohio River water intake, where all of our drinking water comes from. And do you have a guess as to how many gallons one mussel can filter in a day?
500 gallons.
Well, that's really high.
I was going to say.
One little mussel, so they're the size.
500 million.
Well, yeah, you're doing the math. So one little mussel, maybe the size of, you know, a loaf, you know, a slice of bread or smaller, right? They're not that big.
Right.
That can filter up to between 10 and 20 gallons of water. But that's where the math comes in. You were doing it in your head, right? Is 4.6 million mussels, which is a shadow of the number of animals that used to live here can filter times 20, right? 4.6 million. So there's an incredible environmental service that mussels provide if we're thinking only exclusively of what it how it benefits us.
Now, you mentioned freshwater. Are there saltwater mussels?
Oh, yeah.
And that's
most people are familiar with, you know, marine mussels because they eat them and enjoy
them. They don't eat freshwater.
Side of butter. Right. No. And the reason you don't want to eat freshwater mussels is because they're filter feeders and they're taking in all the nasty stuff in the water that we don't want to consume and obviously absorbing that into their body. So you don't you used to be able to more safely eat freshwater
mussels.
So this
is a program created by Rich? You created this program? This is ingenious, really.
I pretty much charged a former staff person who has since left the region with creating the program. I said, go do it, go create it, and she did. So, you know, shout out to Kira for really coming up with a dynamite program. And Melinda has been a great steward of the program. We now, between both programs, have 9,000 students participate in our education programs, more than 40,000 hours, and more than 60
just per year.
Per year, and more than 60 schools. So we're reaching a lot of students in the greater Cincinnati area, and we're really excited about the growth potential where we're headed, especially with the mussels in the classroom program.
And more than that, not only cleaning up the river, you're creating people to kind of follow your footsteps because after they graduate school, they're going to want to work for the Ohio River Foundation.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up because that's the important piece. Mussels are cool. I could talk on and on about mussel natural history. But the really beautiful part of mussels in the classroom is that we bring a tank of mussels into the school. The school then hosts, the students host that tank and take care of the mussels for 2 weeks. They learn all about mussels, so most of the kids are like, what is a mussel? We don't know what that is. But by the end of the 2 weeks, we come back to pick them up, and many of them, young and old, because this is a K through 12 program, are almost near tears, like, please don't take our mussels. They've named them. Aww. They've made a personal connection with an invertebrate, which is not an easy thing to do, right? This isn't an animal that can look back at you with its eyes.
Right.
But they've spent 2 weeks feeding them, observing them, and they've learned that the mussels, these individual mussels have personal preferences. They find little corners of the tank and move around. They've held them. They have made a personal connection with a mussel. They understand why they're important in our ecosystem, that they're indicator species, that they help tell a story about the health of our waterways. So they've learned a lot about them from a scientific standpoint, but they've also made a personal connection.
And I would think that maybe some of the teachers are even so interested that they'll come and knock on your door and say, look, I'd like to help.
Absolutely. That has happened a lot. We've had students who've started as a result of working with us invasive species removal plans on their school campuses. So they've gone out and organized kids to go out and remove invasive species like honeysuckle from their campus property, like all kinds of cool motivational things that students have come up with on their own. And that is an important part of our program is we want them to learn about the science. We want them to make a personal connection and maybe fall in love with a mussel. But we also want them to use that newfound passion to take action and join us in doing something, great or small, that will have a positive impact on our watershed and eventually the health of the Ohio River.
Now, this mussels in the classroom, is this something just for the Cincinnati region? Is there anywhere else in the country doing anything like this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do currently serve just the local greater Cincinnati area. We have in the past worked in Columbus and Lexington. And currently we're in Lexington, for a limited number of programs per year. But there isn't anything like this in the country. There is another watershed group on the East Coast that has started something similar as a result and kind of taken the mussels in the classroom program as inspiration to start their own version. But we're one of the only mussels in the classroom program or mussel-based husbandry programs for kids in the country.
And besides the exposure you're getting here at WDJO, has there been any stories publicity-wise, nationwide, locally? I mean, and I found out about you guys from Movers and Makers. Mm-hmm. That's what I found out about you guys. Yeah. They had a listing of all the nonprofits, so I emailed you. But other than that, I mean, this is a story that will be perfect for 60 Minutes or Sunday morning, CBS Sunday morning.
I'm glad you agree.
Oh, yeah.
I find that fascinating.
I guess, you know, in the scheme of things, when you work at an organization, PR is the last thing on the list. You don't think about that. You really don't. If it comes your way, you're happy. But, you know, I've been a PR guy all my life with sports teams and whatever. This isn't natural. I could see 60 Minutes doing something like this.
Oh, yeah.
I really can. But that's for another day, for another story. But Rich is here. Melinda's here. Jake's here. I'm Andy Furman. And you could be here as well at 513-563-1480. WDJO.
can trust. Rest assured, Western and Southern's family of companies is always here. Visit westernsouthern.com/restassured to get started today.
Smiling, never gentle on my mind.
Andy Furman for my longtime friends at A&B Heating and Air Conditioning. And you know what? They're family-owned and operated. They've been keeping the tri-state area comfortable since 1966. They're an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer, one of the most trusted and reliable brands for your home or business. Now is the time to service your air conditioning system, and don't forget about your air filter. Regular maintenance of your system and checking for refrigerant leaks will help you avoid utility overpayments, discomfort, and the possibility of high repair bills when the unit is at its highest demand. If you're system is in need of upgrading, A&B will design a new system to provide you with lower utility costs and improved indoor comfort. A&B Maintenance Plus plan includes a 15% discount on repairs, no overtime charges, prolonged equipment life, priority scheduling, and most important, your 100% peace of mind guarantee. To find more information or schedule your service, call or text them at 859-525-0100. You may also find valuable coupons at abhvac.com.
Did you know that recycling is not only great for the environment, but also a good source of cash? At River Metals Recycling, every pound of scrap metal we buy is turned into something new again. That old car or refrigerator in your garage can be used to make a new bridge or even a hospital bed. Come visit either of our two Greater Cincinnati River Metals Recycling locations to help reduce waste, conserve resources, and protect our environment. Learn more at r-m-recycling.com.
Bruce Hornsby and the Noisemakers, live in concert.
Listen to the metal and the rain.
The Indigo Park Tour.
Oh,
the Taft Theater. Performing selections from his new album and other favorites. Get reserved seats now at Ticketmaster.com or the Taft Theater box office. Bruce Hornsby and the Noisemakers.
Many people are staying in their home rather than enduring the hassle and expense of moving. Why not renovate and keep your low-interest loan? Sloan Construction specializes in all phases of home remodeling services. Put Sloan Construction's 30 years of experience to work on your remodeling project. Whether it's a kitchen or bathroom remodel, patio deck, room addition, or decorative concrete, you can trust Sloan Construction. Call Mike Sloan today to discuss your home plan. 859-462-9365. That's 859-462-9365.
WDJO. Believe it or not, we've crossed the 50-yard line, and we call What's the Point every single Saturday morning, 8 a.m., and where the music is WDJO, 99.5, 107.9 FM, 1480 AM, and worldwide on the wonderful iHeart app. And thank you, River Metals Recycling, A&B Heating and Air Conditioning, Western and Southern Financial Group, John Barrett, the godfather of Cincinnati, Big Blue Moving, Evan and Nathan Thompson and Window World Cincinnati with the big O, John Oslika. But here's another man who is a godfather of Cincinnati himself, Rich Kogan, Executive Director, Ohio River Foundation, with Melinda Voss, who's carrying him today, really. She's the Education Programs Manager. But, Rich, it's all you right now. What are we doing next with your river now, with the Ohio River Foundation? What's up?
So just to clarify and the distinction between our different programs, before we go back to the Muscles in the Classroom program, because it is such a highlight of what we do. But so we have advocacy, we have education, and we have restoration programs. The advocacy program pretty much focuses on what we can do now regarding regulations, proposed laws, as far as federal policy is concerned. So that's something that we are very much in tune, and we've had success over the last 26 years with different activities in that particular program. Then on the Habitat Restoration Program, which we'll come back to in a little while, is really focused on what we can do now as far as restoring rivers and planting trees, and we've accomplished a lot in that area. But the next generation is very important. So that's where the education programs come in, you know, training and educating the next generation of environmental stewards. And so that's where the River Explorer, we talked about the summer course, and of course, now we'll go back to the Muscles in the Classroom program.
And kind of back to the what's the point and why we spend so much time on education as part of the foundation's mission, is there is in our region, but also nationwide, a real lack of both interest and quality science programming that will inspire that next generation, as Rich was speaking to. So just some interesting nationwide statistics. In 2019, approximately 28% of students tested below proficient in science standards, right? So 28%. But what's alarming is the most recent look at that data nationwide in 2024, it went up to 38%. So we're seeing an increase in the lack of science proficiency amongst our kids. And
is that nationwide? Any specific,
that's nationwide.
Specific markets that were worse than others?
Well, that's a good question. There, you can we can kind of crunch that data comparably in Ohio this past year. So it's this is comparing different testing years. But in 2025, our students overall were 23% tested below proficient. So it's still a pretty high number.
I did not go to school in 23.
They need Bill Nye.
They need Bill Nye, absolutely, who I love. Yes, we were talking about how much we love Bill Nye. But no, that is the point, right? That we need to invest more, because for any student, no matter what career path they take, having the ability to think critically, to think like a scientist, to have those skills, whether they're a nurse, a plumber, or a scientist, having those skills and that comfort level and that desire and interest in science is very important. Yes. To having a successful life, no matter what career path you follow. So this kind of stuff is what drives us and why we do what we do, because there is very much a need to provide quality and engaging science or STEM programming in our local region, but nationwide. So this is what fuels us and what gets us up on our cold mornings to get in the river with kids, is because they need that. The other really big part for me and my personally, and I know also motivates all of our educators, is that we want to give kids an authentic experience in nature. We were talking a little bit about this before, about how that really influenced why I do what I do, is my childhood and what I spent my time doing. And not enough kids are getting that opportunity. So a common fact that's thrown around, which is fairly alarming, is the average American child spends between 5 and 8 hours in front of a screen per day.
Oh, yeah.
Would you guess how much time the average American child spends outside per day?
Probably 1 to 2.
So
35 minutes.
You think that low? Really?
4 to 7 minutes.
Minutes.
Wow. So hours to minutes, right?
When I was a kid, I had 1 foot out the door all the time.
Right, right.
Wow.
So it's a different time.
They didn't let me in.
He locked the door.
Change the locks. He's out.
Yeah, so it's a different experience than our generation had in previous generations. And what that means for kids is when we invite kids into the river as part of our River Explorer program, or we bring live mussels from the river into their classroom, they often begin with a certain level of fear and trepidation, anxiety. But by the end of the program, they are splashing around in the water with us, catching fish, holding macroinvertebrates, bugs in their
hands.
What
kind of feedback from the parents are these kids?
Really great feedback. We, because our primary audience is teachers and students.
I was going to say, what about the teachers?
The teacher evaluations and the feedback we get from them is just rave reviews. And that's valid because we're offering what is a very unique experience. So there's in our local region, there are plenty of organizations doing really great work in this field of water quality and studying water ecology. But our program, River Explorer and Mussels in the Classroom,
it's more hands-on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that it's a multi-sensory experience that kids aren't going to forget. And it's really cool.
It's a double-edged sword. It serves the kids,
yeah,
but it also serves you as your organization.
Because
you're planning people to take your place down the road.
Right. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Great. It really is. But the question I have for Rich, because I don't want to embarrass you, I'll embarrass him. Where does the funding come from? Because these are big-time programs. Where does the money come from besides donations?
So we have a mix, a very good, diverse mix of funding for the organization. So we have private foundations that provide a lot of funding for the education programs. We also have some corporate foundations. We also have individuals, both small and large donors to the organization. And we also have some fun events that are public-facing that draw in a lot of attendance as well as contributions to the organization.
Why isn't your organization, why isn't the Ohio River Foundation up there as far as notoriety. I had to find you in Movers and Makers magazine. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is something that serves everybody. I mean, I'm not downgrading, you know, arthritis, autism, all these other nonprofits that come here, mm-hmm. but they're sort of one-lane highways. They service a certain individual, all right? You service everybody, and you don't get the notoriety that they get. Why is that?
I think it has to do with how people view their lives. And, you know, you talked about, I think we may have been off mic, but you talked about how people start some nonprofits based upon events in their personal history, whether it's cancer, death, whatever it is in their family history. And so there's a visceral connection to a particular organization or a particular movement. You know, it's about heart health, it's about cancer, what have you. Whereas when you talk about environmental organizations that are still cause-related, but people don't necessarily associate environmental health with public health. I think as we continue to try and bridge that knowledge gap and make those connections for people, which is what we try and do with our Cincinnati Coffee Festival, where we have about 4,000 people from the general public attend, is we try and make that connection for people between environmental health, food health, protecting food supply, and water quality, and their own individual health. So I think that's a way to...
When is that Cincinnati Coffee Festival?
So the Cincinnati Coffee Festival is an event we started in 2017. It's in the fall of each year. It's the last weekend in October. And it really has been a dynamite dynamic.
My other son went. Alex went to that. His brother went to the International Coffee Festival. I remember. Yes.
Well, it's a Cincinnati Coffee Festival.
Cincinnati Coffee
Festival. Yeah. Down it's in the ballroom upstairs at Music Hall.
I think he was there, yeah.
Huh. You know, I just thought about something for you guys. I don't know why this is making me smile. You guys could use a cute pun in this for your mic program and tell people, what are you waiting for? Let's go, right? Make a splash.
Trademark it.
I think it was great. You would be great for that because you've got that energy for the kids and you're like the female version of Bill Nye. So it'd be great.
I don't deserve that comparison, but I'll take it. Yeah, I like that. What are we waiting for?
What are we waiting for? Yeah, Let's get it cleaned up.
We'll use that more.
Rich, what are we waiting for? What's next? Because I know you got these programs and you're panicking here. You're making me crazy. don't worry. If you don't get it done, we're going to have you back here in a couple of weeks.
So the Muscles in the Classroom program, which I like to compare to Lightning in a Bottle when we first started it, is really the demand is off the charts. But when you're dealing with live animals, you have a capacity constraint. So right now we have about 200 or so live mussels in our collection, but in order to meet the demand, we really need to go up to about 2,000. We really need to blow the roof off, so to speak. But that's a capacity issue. So what we're doing now is we are speaking to funders and looking for more funders to help us build the capacity to have more mussels in our collection. And we right now have two different sites, two different facilities that we use to house our mussels. And so it involves purchasing equipment and building out one of the two sites so that we can have more freshwater mussels in our collection. The exciting thing that we're looking forward to also is not just having more students, which could, you know, right now we have 5,500 students or so that participate in the MIC program, which acronym is Mussels in the Classroom program. But we expect that'll grow to 10, 20, 30, 40,000 in the next few years, is the opportunity to then involve the students in what we call seeding those mussels into local waterways to increase local mussel population, which then will improve water quality because they're filter feeders. And so there's a big connection beyond just the mussels in the classroom program. But again, it all comes back to capacity and having the necessary funding. So that's why we're reaching out now to funders to look for more support for building out that capacity.
This is eye-opening. It really is, and I think it's tremendous. Again, but it doesn't have the sympathetic nonprofit attachment as arthritis, autism, heart, wood, or cancer. But this is great, and I love it. I can listen to this all day long. Melinda and Rich are with us right now. You could join us at 513-563-1480. If you don't, I don't care. I don't care, really, because you know what? You're probably boring. Don't call. Don't call. You're boring. I'd rather listen to Melinda and Rich right here on WDJO.
Success is often determined by how well you plan and prepare for life's biggest moments. It's the confidence that comes from knowing you and your loved ones are protected for generations. You can rest assured knowing you've made the right choice, placing your trust in Western and Southern. From life insurance to retirement and investments, Western and Southern helps provide the peace of mind you need so you can be in the moment with the ones you love. Visit westernsouthern.com/rest assured to get started today.
Big Blue Moving and Storage has been voted Kentucky's number one moving company. Whether you're moving across town or across country, we have you covered. Our highly trained moving crews are among the top in the nation and can make your move quick and stress-free. We only employ the best of the best, and our movers are the highest paid in the area, which is why we like to say, happy movers make happy customers. From packing and moving to unpacking, organizing, and even storage, Big Blue can do it all, or we can quickly come move the big stuff. We leave that decision up to you, allowing you to control the cost of the move. We charge a flat hourly rate that is prorated to the minute, and our clock doesn't start until we get to your home. Our pricing is clearly outlined on our website, and there are no hidden fees. Big Blue Moving is locally owned and operated in Florence, Kentucky. This means from mover to manager to owner, we take pride in what we do and truly cherish the reputation we've built. So if you want to experience a whole new way of moving, give us a call today at 859-608-BLUE. Big Blue Moving. Just move it.
John from Window World here. Everybody knows we do windows. But did you know we do entry doors? Window World is the largest exterior remodeler in America doing windows, doors, and siding. But check out our energy-efficient entry doors with hundreds of styles, 50 different styles of glass, and make your choice. Window World, simply the best for less. Find out more at windowworldcincinnati.com.
Are you interested in antiques and collectibles? If so, there's a new place in town, the Route 27 Antique Mall in Alexandria in the Village Green Shopping Center. I'm Dangerous Dan Allen, and I've now lived in 5 historic homes over the years. And when you do that, you always are raiding the antique malls for things for your home. The Route 27 Antique Mall has over 30,000 square feet of antiques all under one roof. 6927 Alexandria Pike in Alexandria, or call 859-970-2727.
W-D-J-O. What's the point? Every Saturday, 8 a.m., you never know what's going to expect on this show. And we got two great guests today. Jake Furman's
it's
here.
It's a splash of fun.
It's unbelievable. Melinda Voss here, Education Program Manager. That's a big title. How do you get that on a business card? And Rich Colgan, Executive Director of ORF, Ohio River Foundation. Don't forget it. ORF. What's the website so people can see what you're doing? And you need to put some muscles on that website. And not M-U-S-C-L-E-S, the other muscles.
www.ohioriverfdn.org.
Perfect. Could you get some of the muscle pictures on there, like what a muscle looks like?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think, Melinda, we can put some muscle pictures up there, and I think, I know we have it on our social media, but we'll see about maybe putting up a muscle lure video. Those are pretty cool videos.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
That'd be wonderful. Really would.
Yeah, that.
I don't mean to give you work to do. I'm sorry.
No, there are some beautiful. Like when we were talking about the beauty of muscles, which to the viewer might sound like a strange topic, but if you actually dive into this and look at the various muscle species, but then also the mother of pearl or the nacre that we're all familiar with that makes up their bodies, their shells. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
You know, you have a great logo, the Ohio River Foundation, but you should have T-shirts with pictures of muscles on them.
I love it. Oh. I agree.
And you know what, though? You should call the Point Arc Monday morning, if there's work Monday with the snow, but call them Monday. We have an apparel shop. They'll make the T-shirts for you.
There we go.
Yes. Yeah. Individuals that make them.
Yeah. My goal is to convince some high school in the local Cincinnati region to adopt a muscle as a mascot. You think
that'll be
great?
That'd be awesome.
That would be wonderful, right?
That'd be great.
Rich is chomping at the bit, chomping at the muscle right now. Some of the accomplishments, maybe, if you want to talk about what you've done over the last several years. If you want to do that.
Sure, I want to do that, but do I have a minute first?
Have whatever you want.
Okay, I'm just going to drop in there. We talk about the muscles, and people just think about, you know, the muscles they eat, and that's all it is. But what's really unique about freshwater mussels is that many of them are dependent upon certain fish, specific species of fish, to complete their life cycle.
Oh.
And many of them also produce lures to draw in the fish so that they then can spray the fish gills with their eggs. And so in simplistic terms, it just really is amazing to see the lures. I mean, some of these lures look like little minnows and other things that attract certain fish. So we'll try and put some of that up on our
Isn't nature wonderful? How nature works?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really. Mm-hmm. It really is. And these, obviously, freshwater mussels don't have eyes. And so for them to produce this kind of lure that looks like a fish.
It's great.
That
is just amazing.
Cool.
Yeah,
it really
yeah.
is.
So anyway, as far as our accomplishments over the years, we've been pretty busy for the last 26 years. More than 80,000 students have participated in our education programs. And now we're doing close to 10,000 students a year. We've removed more than 800,000 invasive plant species and trees in a number of area parks in greater Cincinnati and also in some national forests. We've planted more than 35,000 trees. We've also created a regional watershed advocacy coalition. We've drafted a watershed restoration plan. We've commented on more than 400 permits and proposed legislation and laws. And we've also reconnected and restored more than 300 miles of rivers.
Wow.
So we're pretty excited about what we've accomplished, but we're even more excited, I think, about what...
I don't know why the mayor's office of Cincinnati has not come in. Seriously, I'm not joking. They should bring you down to give you some sort of a medal. I mean, what you've done for the Ohio River, and it's drinking water. I don't understand how you've been so far in the background here. It amazes me.
It involves everybody.
Right.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's amazing. And you are in a situation that it's somewhat, I guess, frustrating in the sense that it's a never-ending cause. It never ends, but you feel good because you have done so good prior to your continuation of it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, you know, you've done this, but you still have much more to do. Never ends.
Right. I mean, as far as the river itself is concerned, there is a limit as to what we can do as far as improving water quality in the river.
Right.
Because you still have the permits that are being issued by the different states, Kentucky, West Virginia, Ohio, as far as discharge of pollutants and forever chemicals. And so you still have a lot of pollution that still is entering the river, you know, tens of millions of gallons a year. But as far as what we can impact is really our restoration in the watershed. So on those tributaries where we're taking out dams, where we're planting all those trees. As a matter of fact, we're pretty excited that we actually have by removing some invasive species in a particular park, we now have the largest stand of blue ash trees in the region.
Wow.
Which, if everybody recalls, years ago was the blue ash, not the blue ash, the ash borer, mm-hmm. the emerald ash borer,
okay.
which decimated ash trees throughout the region. So we really, through our work, are doing what we can to improve the ecology throughout the region. And as Melinda mentioned earlier, as far as a watershed and how it functions, whatever hits the land goes down into the tributaries, down into the Ohio River. So instead of trying to improve and focus only on the Ohio River and do restoration in the river without focusing on the watershed is sort of self-defeating.
Right.
So this way we can have a cumulative impact by all the different projects in the watershed that can improve those tributaries and albeit then improve the Ohio River, notwithstanding the discharges that are going directly.
Now, how do you make the decision as to what region you're going to go to?
Mm-hmm. So restoration-wise, we focus on about 150-mile radius out from Cincinnati, and that's the way that we decide to limit our geographic reach, just because how many people we have, as well as all the projects that are even within that region. So it's that coupled with the fact that we have particular expertise in helping communities raise the necessary funding, as well as the project management. Right now we have 6 different communities locally that we have annual contracts to do habitat management, plant trees, remove invasive species. But we also then are involved with landowners that, well, we're pretty excited about our new 1,000-acre pollinator habitat project, which we'll talk about in a minute. But we really are focused on big projects, big impacts, so we really can have an impact throughout the watershed.
Let's talk about that Habitat project because we're rolling towards the top of the hour here.
Sure. So as far as what's exciting and what we're doing now, Melinda talked about the capacity build on the Muscles in the Classroom program. But what we're really excited about from a restoration standpoint is we have a new project called 1,000 Acres Pollinator Habitat Project. We're involving a number of parks and park districts in Greater Cincinnati to create and restore and enhance 1,000 acres of pollinator habitat. That'll be focused on bumblebees and monarch butterflies because in the last few decades, populations of pollinators have plummeted. And some species are down 90% from where they were historically.
Why is that?
Well, you have a lot of agriculture and pesticide and herbicide, so that has had an impact. A lot of development, so a lot of habitat loss.
Yeah.
So you have both habitat loss and pesticide use, both also in suburban areas, but all that has impacted populations throughout the region.
Okay. Wow. So when does that start?
That's starting this year.
Okay,
and
that's
so
great.
Really excited about, we have a lot of interested landowners, public landowners, and the public also has started to contact us as well as to how they can participate.
So you keep pretty busy. You really do. It's amazing.
You know, what's amazing is his name is Rich, and it's perfect. It's the perfect name because he's making Cincinnati rich again. It's the perfect name for him.
Listen to you.
It's Richie. Great. Rich. Yeah. We were talking about that before the show.
And another big project that we're starting this year is we just recently, and this first time I'm announcing it, on your show.
That's great.
Is we received a $1.4 million grant to install 30 acres of wetlands on the Scioto River. So we're pretty excited about that new opportunity.
That's great.
Awesome.
That's a big announcement.
That
should be, you know, almost really, I'd say, on the front page of the Cincinnati Inquirer. Really, but, you know, that's me.
The 60-minute idea was great.
Well, I think PR. They would do that. But, again, I mean, it's been an education. You opened up a lot of eyes.
Yes.
And I hope you opened up a lot of ears as well on the radio, but you certainly did that for us because I had no idea what you did except I found out about you. But it was great having you.
We'll
and
have
you know
guys
what?
Back again.
We want to have you back.
Yes.
You know, maybe in the fall. Would that be okay? That'd be wonderful. It really was. That's Melinda Voss, Education Program Manager. Rich Kogan, the Executive Director of the Ohio River Foundation. Look at them. Look on their website. And you're going to have some muscle pictures on their website soon. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Stay warm.
Yes.
And we'll be here next Saturday on WDJO.